Nobody... we can idealize a different future possible system, but we have to exist in the one that is here right now.
Yeah. I just don't want to have to wear clothes in this one.
That's also what Salsa had under his high school photo.
No, that's incorrect. What I had under my high school photo was "Buckle up for the sex." It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast
with your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and special guest.
Hi, JL.
There you go. Yes, that's right. Jenna's not here, man. Jenna is off on vacation somewhere.
Yes.
And we are coming to you from three undisclosed locations hidden throughout the United States.
Three micro-laboratories.
Indeed. But I am in the new Apropos of Nothing laboratory.
Gasp.
The laboratory in process, as Salsa has moved, which is something we will tell you all about right after we tell you about our drinks. James, what are you drinking?
I picked up a Surly Age of Leviathan.
That sounds like a dark beer.
It is. It's a stout with ruby chocolate, raspberry, lactose, and vanilla. 11.9 alcohol per volume.
I was about to say it's probably an imperial.
Yeah, it really seems that way. They've been making a kick-ass set of stouts this year. They've got little ones in boxes that are dynamite.
So I love stouts. This is not said with a not love of stouts, because they were my first love when it came to beer. But on the scale of syrup to soy sauce, where does it find itself?
This one's about halfway. That's it's not thick enough to stand on. But it is, you know, it's got a solidness to it.
Yeah, no, I also love stouts, but Imperial stouts, I'm more than likely to just walk past.
Like Surly Darkness is, thick with three C's.
Yeah.
But this is a little bit lighter, but it's also a little, it's got some good flavor in there.
I'm having a White Christmas, of course, a White Russian using eggnog instead of cream.
That sounds lovely.
Because that's how
I
roll.
Drink you dream of.
Yes, and then I wake up and make my dreams come true.
Yeah.
What about you?
I am having the thing that got me through the pandemic, which is Jameson Cold Brew on ice. So my two greatest loves are probably whiskey and coffee, and this is like the two of them had a baby.
I like you already.
Yeah, the more you know about them, the more you will like them. That's excellent. Just how JL works. Yeah,
I'm okay with this. All right.
It was a part of the other thing that got me through the pandemic was Discord. So I was like, I feel the need for this particular beverage right
now. We are covering all the bases right now. All you need is to have utter nonsense and puns also get you through the pandemic. And we are going to have a perfect storm here.
I'm afraid my internet's kind of crackling. I think I have to go.
Going through a tunnel.
it was too good to last. Anyway. Now that we've got drinks in hand, it's story time, folks. Buckle up. That is right. The Apropos of Nothing laboratory has moved, which is why we didn't have an episode last week, because my internet wasn't turned on yet. apparently it was. Yeah, no, I'm honestly like one of the few things that I'm not happy about this move is we went from fiber back to cable.
Oh, I've been there.
Which is really disappointing. And in fact, my wife, when she was on the phone with our fiber company, was telling them, it was like, we have to turn this off, and we're really, really sad to go because we don't have fiber in where we're moving. And they were like, well, where are you moving to? You know, maybe we'll be there in a few years. And she told them, and they were like...
Oh, no.
Yeah, they're saying maybe in 10 years.
Oh, wow.
They'll get out.
Really?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, my first download will just have finished by then.
Exactly. Exactly. So, but we went back to cable and we're doing Xfinity, which is already just a nightmare.
Yeah. I'm mentally hugging you right now because I literally did this like 9 months ago. Like,
feel my pain.
I really, really do.
Yeah.
But we got the modem hooked up and we did the online thing to try to find the modem and it didn't connect. And so we had to get a tech out to the place and the tech did some fiddling around and this and that. And he basically said the problem's at the post. We need to have a linesman come out and fix something at the post. It was like, cool. He'll be here either this evening or tomorrow. And, you know, would you like to have a tech come out after the post person comes just to make sure everything's good? And I was like, yes, absolutely. Have the post person come out, you know, the linesman come out, fix whatever, then have a tech come and just make sure that everything is firing on all cylinders. Nobody came that night. Next day, nobody came. The tech shows up and they're like, did the linesman come? And we're like, no. He's like, cool. But this tech, to his credit, didn't just immediately go, well, there's nothing I can do until they get here and leave. He proceeded to check everything again, and he got our internet working.
Hey, hey, hey.
And it turns out he was actually, thick Russian accent was like, the other lineman should have checked this, or the other tech should have checked this. He was lazy. He didn't check this. He should have checked this. But yeah, so it was about Wednesday that we finally got our internet on around here.
I feel like that's something that I should be looking at as I check out houses, possible houses.
Yes. Like, yes. What, yes.
What
yes.
kind of internet can you get here?
Yeah. Yes.
It's
no, that is absolutely. Sorry.
My good friend did that. Cause my good friend works in tech and was like, literally a requirement for the realtor has to be fiber. He was have to be fiber, and my other friend was like, has to have space for a garden, and that sums him up in a nutshell. And I would like, Tyler did this just months before we did it, and we moved here, and I was like, I should have, like, I knew that was a thing, and I didn't say that, and I should have said that.
Yeah.
I said space for dog. So dog also, is very happy.
Yeah. Also important.
Yeah. Yes. The yard is killer. The internet.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much.
Awesome. Yeah, and I mean our internet's not terrible, but it's definitely not fiber.
yep. And you're back to dealing with Comcast and
exactly. No,
I've lived a few places where my phone internet was faster than the internet that they could hook up. At the wall. Yeah,
and it's and fiber is just like half as expensive.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Like our bill doubled or something. Like it was ridiculous.
And let me be clear, it's also like, how much money can I give you to never deal with Comcast again?
Yeah. Yes.
Name that amount.
So yeah, as soon as fiber finally gets down into this area, we are absolutely switching the moment it switches.
I keep getting advertisements for CenturyLink and Fios. And a couple other like high speed providers, and they're like brand new. First 6 months, it's only, you know, $30, $45 or something competitive speeds. And
then on the seventh month, we send you a bottle of Vaseline cause you're going to need it.
That's terrible.
Anyway, is actually going to bill you for that Vaseline.
We finally got everything moved into the house. I won't say everything. We got all the big stuff moved into the house.
The kids are still in the car.
But the desks and the beds and the furniture and stuff like that, that all moved over on Sunday or Saturday a week ago. But all of the stuff, the random bits of, you know, whatever, CDs and pencils and shit that. None of that was, you know, the moving people didn't do any of that. That's on us entirely. And so we're still in the process of moving that stuff over.
Gotcha.
It's so fucking much of it.
Yeah, the fiddly bits.
It is amazing how much shit you accumulate in a decade or two. living in one location.
Yeah.
You know, and we've reached the point now where we walk into a room and there's just piles of stuff all over. We kind of look at it and go, do we need that?
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah,
how much of this stuff just isn't going anywhere?
Right.
And the piles are getting bigger every room we go through.
All of this stuff is super important to us and really means a lot, and it's has a lot of sentimental value. But
burn it down.
You know what doesn't spark joy? Having to carry it to another house. That's
yep.
And we told our landlady that we would be out by January 1st, so we are on a you know, the clock is ticking. We've got most of the main floor done, and a great deal of the basement and the garage to do yet. But my wife does not work this week, so she's going to be over there pretty much every day, packing stuff up and loading boxes up. And then as soon as I get done with work every day, I will be loading up boxes and moving stuff over here. But yeah, just getting everything moved into the new place and figuring out where things go and stuff like that has been my life for the past couple weeks. And that's what I got. My car hasn't been starting.
Oh.
It's been a real pain because I'll take it over to the old house and you know, I'll open up the back hatch as I'm moving stuff in, and then I'll be moving things in for 45 minutes. And by the time I get back, the battery's like, I'm done. So I thankfully have a trickle charger at home. And so I put that on there, and then the next morning my wife and I drive back and it starts up and I drive stuff. But it's happened twice already. So now I've got to, I'm loading stuff up, not leave the door open the whole time.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Anyway, what about y'all?
Thanks for that reminder. I drive a hybrid and I don't drive because I work from home.
Yeah.
So now it's like I have to forcibly make sure that I drive my car on a regular basis to make sure.
Yeah, now the winter has set in.
So I should probably, at some point.
You go and fire it up for half an hour.
It's just literally like, just
listen to a podcast. Yeah.
Right?
Go to the store and restock on Jameson Cold Brew.
There you go. Oh, that sounds fantastic.
As besides, Josie's usually my podcast guest. She and I go for like 3 mile walks because she's a very active dog.
Yeah.
And that is when we engage in podcasts because it's a lot of walking.
Very, very pretty puppy back there.
It's a lot of walking. She's a very, very active dog. But she's a very good
dog. She looks so active right now.
Yeah, right now she's crashed. Josie has two dogs, completely on or completely snuggled.
Yeah. Indeed. It's like my son.
pretty much.
James, what have you been up to?
Big holiday. It turns out that when people have invited you to their family dinner, even if you are a super fan of Terry Pratchett's Discworld and really love the Hogfather, that subjecting the assembled family to watching 4 hours of miniseries immediately following dinner, leading up to roughly 10:30 p.m. may not be your best move. Thankfully, not my move. That wasn't me. That was one of my family's guests. But he's very enthusiastic about it.
I mean, this sounds perfect to me. I don't know what you're complaining about.
Right. I love The Hogfather. This was my third viewing this season. But I also, being the way that I am, I've had to defensively learn to recognize glazed over looks, especially in conversation. And yet,
every podcast you do not notice Jenna and my looks of glazed over eyeballs.
I notice Jenna's.
Okay.
I notice yours. I care about Jenna's.
Okay. No, that's. That is fair. Yeah. Noticing and giving a shit, two different things. I rescind my statement.
So there was that. Adventures with parents. it turns out that there's a certain amount that I want to spend as far as time with my family. And then no matter how much I love them, it's too much.
Well, yeah.
I think the pandemic has really lowered that amount.
Mm-hmm.
I love lots of people, but I need a lot more breaks.
Yeah, no, I feel like a lot of people have become more accustomed to the solitude in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think it's something that will readjust when things get normal. But yeah, right now, a lot of people are more comfortable with just sitting at home a little bit.
Yeah. Speaking of things to do while sitting at home, Stefan Senpai, did the annual Steam Secret Santas gathering, and where each of us is assigned another person, and then we try to get them as many and as interesting a selection of titles, mostly from their wish list, as we can. And so I delved into some pretty deep stuff, and I ended up finding, instead of buying people stuff like Poop in My Soup or, you know, Long Road or some other difficult to love game, to fill in the last dollar up to the limit, there are some actually like really good titles for under a dollar for like 45 cents right now.
Oh yeah, Steam sales are fantastic.
So yeah, I was very pleased with the selection that I was able to pick out, and I hope that the recipient is as well. As always, I included a slightly dirty limerick or haiku, and I'm very pleased. At some point, I'll just collect them in a chapter of like erstwhile writings. Yeah. Filthy things I send to my friends when I gift them video games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Excellent. the Steam Secret Santa was good to me this year.
Good.
I am going to have to up my RAM, though.
Mm.
Some of the games that I got were at the... What I've currently got is at the bottom end of what their recommendations are.
Gotcha.
So, thankfully, I have a RAM slot that is empty right now, so I can just get a new one and
good.
Drop it in.
Yeah.
$30 and I'll be good to go, but I actually have to go do that.
Yeah. Well, and thankfully RAM at the moment is not sky high, or, you know, it's not like video cards.
Yeah.
If you needed a new video card, I would just,
you know, buy a new computer.
Yeah. I'd have the kid that plays Taps on standby, you know. You're gonna get into a fist fight over that.
Yeah, just like an 8 meg RAM card.
Yeah.
Or an 8 gig, yeah.
Yeah. I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's drop
that in there.
Yeah. I'm back at work after a week off. And I spent my entire week off getting ready for the holiday weekend. So it was not even a little bit relaxing. I'm really bad at this time off thing. It turns out.
Sounds like you did a really good job of it.
Of relaxing?
Yes, or by not doing it. Relaxing's terrible.
Well, there is that.
I'm against it.
Nope. I do apparently hate downtime.
No, no, no. Psychotherapist. No. This is so bad.
I'm just watching their face like pale.
Nope.
Also, okay.
I'm getting like my leg is already twitching just thinking about it.
On screen as well.
Be good to your brain. Relax.
Yeah.
I'm good to my brain, which is why I don't let my brain get bored, because my brain doesn't do good things when it gets bored.
Yeah.
There's a complete and utter reason for that. It's not actually healthy, but that's my two cents.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not healthy at all. No, no, no,
that's an alarm bell.
I was starting to get too much downtime. I'm scheduling more therapy these days. That's how that...
Nobody would assume that anything I do is in any way, shape, or form healthy or good for you.
Yeah, swallowing swords. Eating glass. Licking mouse traps. Putting screwdrivers up his nose. Yeah, that's...
None of this sounds good.
It's amazing to watch, but...
Yes.
You know what? People pay me, so...
There you go.
But as a medical professional, there's part of me going, oh, God. 911 just hanging out here.
Yeah, I'll dial 9-1. just in case that fraction of a second saves us critical time.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, nothing I do is good or normal or healthy in any way, shape, or form.
As long as we're on the same page.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, James?
I'm figuring out winter boots for my tiny car. I want to put some winter tires on it.
Oh, tires. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, you need boots to wear in your car? What?
Let's be clear. He has this size boots and this size car. So that's a fair, actually.
No, that is. Yeah, yeah. His car is a roller skate. It is true.
Yeah. But they've been kind of a little mountain goat during the first few snowy, crappy days. And
a little bit skittery.
Steadfast. And I feel like I owe them a new set of tires for the winter, you know? And that means working out storage for the summer tires.
Mm-hmm.
I'll figure it out.
Never mind. I was going to say put them in the trunk of your car, but that takes up the whole back seat of your car. So
yeah, that would be actually be probably the entirety of my car.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe if you got like a normal human sized car, you wouldn't have this problem.
Yeah, but then I would have different problems.
I've known James for like a human lifetime, and no.
Yeah, it's not. It's not going to happen. You're asking me to do something the easy way, and I think we all know how that works out.
Well, let's be clear. Like, I had this realization a few years ago when I was like, why do you always drive such tiny cars? And then I realized you also had a, like, extremely tiny shower and slept on kind of a tinier bed. Then you're not a tiny... I was like, oh, James does not like being in places where he actually fits. Okay. Yeah. It all makes sense.
That's why I stay on this podcast. Good. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Excellent.
No, this all makes sense.
And it all tracks. Good. Yeah. Jail, what have you been up to mostly?
I also had the week just prior off, so
Yeah.
Back to work. It was good to have a week off. I actually had some good fun downtime. I'm 4 books shy of a book quotum for the year. So I was getting some relaxing time in.
That sounds like something that you say about someone who isn't that smart. They're like, well, they're a few books shy of the quota for the year, you know.
I feel like the best way to make something as relaxing as reading a book unrelaxing is to have a quota.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this, you have just done the opposite of what the book reading is supposed to be for.
Not quite. Not because I don't stress about the quota. So it's all just dopamine. Every time I read a book, I get an extra dopamine reward of like, hey, I'm closer to that goal. If I don't make the goal, I don't care. If I make the goal,
it comes to neurochemistry. Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, that's the other thing. It's like I'm reading like heavy science books. Like if I read 80 of them a year, that's really saying something. So, like,
dang.
If I don't make it, I don't make it. So good.
Tell my story.
So, but yeah.
Nobody will read it unless there's a quota.
Right. Yeah.
I took the week off partially because we celebrate Yule around here, which is always one of my favorite holidays. So we celebrate it by staying up from dawn until dawn, which we found works better by playing D&D. So we had a
giant, dang, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the one thing, right, that you're like, next thing you know, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning and you didn't mean it to be. So yeah. You started doing that on purpose. So Yule, we had a big feast and some friends over and played D&D and then played a really long, intense board game and then did some puzzles. So that was really cool.
Do you have a Yule log on the fire? Or?
Technically, I have a really, I don't know where I found this thing, but it is a Yule log with like 4 things drilled into it, so you have candles, so you can read, because I was in apartments for so many years.
Right.
Sure.
So it is my Yule log I get to reuse, even though now I technically have a wood burning fireplace that I've never used. So
just chuck the whole thing in there, candles and all.
Yes.
Just wax melting.
We need more candles. We need to keep melting.
So yeah, it was a fair amount of fun. Today actually was pretty chill for being back at work. In fact, I did most of the I started doing auditing for the audio auditing for the first time. Audio editing. I cannot speak. For the first time for the podcast that a friend of mine and I just started. And wow, that's intense. It took me 2 hours to get through like 2 minutes.
Yep.
There's a reason we don't do that.
Cool. Also, I don't necessarily love the sound of my voice, and I'm now having to listen to it in fine detail and like the worst parts of my voice over and over and over so I can like edit out the like ums. Yep. I didn't realize how many ums I said in one. Mm-hmm.
You'll start to recognize the shape of an It looks like a butt plug that's entering an anus to your right. Yep. You've got the wide flange of the U sound, and then you've got
You don't need to explain it, James.
Mine look less like butt plugs than I was hoping for, because you did explain this to me this summer when we were talking about this. And it's less like a butt plug, because I say right into something, which makes it that much harder.
So it's just putting the butt plug into your next word.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, just shoving it right in. The way that makes it really hard to remove.
That's what we have been doing this podcast. I have been doing this podcast for almost 12 years, 13, somewhere in there. Yeah. And we have made, in that time, 4 edits? 5? And that was something we had to take out for legal reasons, someone's name or something like that. You know, something that we had to take this out for some reason. Otherwise, when me and Matt, who was the two of us started this podcast way back in the day, one of the things we said at the beginning was all of the pauses and and uncomfortable silences and stuff like that does go into the conversation. It does change the way the conversation is interpreted, the way it unfolds, you know. And so taking those out actually does change
what it makes podcasters sound more intelligent, which was 100% not what they were going for.
Absolutely not. No, completely. But it also just like there were times at the beginning where we would get angry with each other and almost come to blows and all of that uncomfortable like anger and sniping and pauses and everything like that stayed in because it was what happened. And that was something we really wanted to keep in there. But then I started another podcast just a couple years ago, and the first episode I edited heavily. I just all of the ums I got rid of and stuff like that. And by the third episode, I was like, leave that shit in.
That's actually fine. The interesting thing is like I'm discovering it's sort of like photo editing. Like I can edit it because I don't like it, but then does it take away like the natural quality? And so like trying to figure out a point of taking away distraction without taking away the rawness that is human nature.
Mm-hmm. There's a context in that.
I'm trying to find a healthy balance, but it's a podcast on neuroscience, which is not a light or easy topic. So I don't.
Yeah,
there's a little bit of like you do want to. I don't want there to be slow pauses because I have to keep this interesting. Desperately to the common people. like most people are like, that's a really boring topic. Why would you talk about that? So I'm trying not to increase the boringness of it.
Sounds absolutely fascinating to me. And we will definitely talk more about that in the second segment.
Speaking of which.
But we should probably think about taking a break here. So we're going to do that. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm JL.
Yay! And we're going to talk about JL a little bit more. I think we've already hinted at a few things here, so we're probably just going to dive right into the new podcast.
I was not warned for. Okay.
Oh no! We don't warn people.
That would be cool.
Yeah. No. That's the whole name of the game in this podcast is finding out how people do well under pressure.
Cool.
No, do you have a name?
Again, I'm a psychotherapist, so bring it.
You already won. What's the prize? A new drink. What are you drinking, by the way?
Yeah.
Somebody that I live with was like, would you like this? And so now I'm drinking coffee whiskey combined with Kahlua and cream. Coffee White Russian.
Yeah.
Which coffee is tasty. Russian. Coffee Russian.
I would like it coffee tovarish.
Yeah.
Your coffee should punch you in the face a little bit if you're Russian. Yeah. So good.
It's just ideally. Love tap.
Yes.
This is like a White Russian love tap. That's, yeah.
Duh.
No, it's a little too tasty, honestly. Like it's,
in Soviet Russia, love taps you.
Point.
Anyway, so podcast, do you have a name for it yet, or are you still in the, okay.
Desperately trying to come up with one, to be honest. Cool.
So you're recording and you're just leaving a play. Welcome to the...
Yeah. So basically it's like aware that podcast the intro name is going to have to be like entered, post, everything else.
Insert intro here.
Right? Literally, that's about what it is. A friend of mine and I were sitting at a coffee shop. She's also a clinician. And having brunch and got to talking. And I, if you spend any time around me, I will talk about neuroscience at the drop of a hat. Like, are we at a party and five beers in? I am going to be talking about brain science. I'm sorry. I am that level of pain in the ass.
Oh, no, it sounds awesome to me personally.
Right.
But
has happened.
Right. I can absolutely understand why other people would have a problem with it, but I am not one of those people.
Like five beers on a boat? Yeah, that happened.
One of their many fine qualities.
Oh my God. I'm an insufferable know-it-all. And so a friend of mine and I were chatting and we got into my favorite conversation. To be fair, she's a clinician, so she likes this stuff too. And we start talking about neuroscience. I have no idea why, because it doesn't really take much for me. And she was like, you know what? We should actually record this. She's like, it sort of led to a conversation about how, especially right now in the world of like pandemic/post-pandemic and how not great the vast majority of us are doing on a mental health scale with all of this. Like, this is trauma, regardless of how we talk about it. It is a thing that trauma is usually like an experience of a risk of death without the ability to feel like you can control it. So it fits within the definition, right?
Wow.
And so we're all experiencing that to some level and what it means to have that impact. And so that is one of the reasons why most therapists right now have a huge wait list. There's a lot of job security in that particular field because we're all not doing so great. And the problem is that like knowing about your brain, knowing how to be healthy, knowing how to do well, it all comes with like an inaccessibility to it by nature. Therapy is not cheap. It's not easy. Like finding a therapist that doesn't suck, finding a therapist that's good is literally like finding a relationship that you're willing to make do for like 10 years. Like that's what it is. It's a commitment where you're like, I'm going to be so vulnerable to you. I'm emotionally naked. Like it's very similar to like finding somebody you want to marry, right? Like you have to have that level of like trust and vulnerability and connection to be able to really do good work. So that's a barrier. The cost is a barrier. The time is a barrier. And we're aware of that. And so one of the things that's always helped
cultural taboos are probably also on that list, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so one of the things that helped me when I was a patient was learning about my brain and why it was doing the stupid shit that it was doing. Hmm. And so that's what got me into neuroscience as well as being a clinician. And so it was like, one of the things I love about practicing is being able to share information about, like, it's not you, it's your brain being stupid. Like, one of the things I talk about is, like, we don't have these experiences of, like, oh, my stomach is grumbling, and, like, I'm just a hungry person. That's just who I am. I'm that type of person to just be. No, we're like, I have an organ. It's empty. It would like food. Like, it's not hard. we're fucking clear on that one, right?
When you mentioned food, I became hungry.
That is James.
Yeah.
But with our brains,
some of us do. You know, are just hungry people.
That is also true. That is also true. But we don't have it as like, I have this great thought. Why don't we have, like, we realize we're being influenced by an organ, if you will.
Yeah.
And when it comes to our brain, when stuff happens, we don't realize how many times we're being influenced by an organ and how much control we do or do not have over it. Like little things like, you have a chemistry test and your digestive system shuts down. You don't think about, like, and that you're super short with other people. Like, you don't realize, oh, this is an organ and my organ is responding to being around in caves with giant bears chasing after me. So when I was in caves with giant bears chasing after me, my brain learned, A, don't poop. don't be hungry. And B, really short and attentive in case I have to attack said bear, right? But now that bear is a chemistry test and all of that gets jarbled. And we think that it's a thing that we're doing. We think that we are angry type of people or anxious type of people. That's just who we are. You are influenced by an organ, and understanding how much you're influenced by it and what you can actually, the number of things that you can actually do to have control over that organ, to be in the driver's seat, is huge. But it comes with the barrier of access. So it was, how do we reduce the problem with the neuroscience, however, is that it's dry and boring. And there are like textbooks behind me that are this big that nobody wants to read except for me. So it was, let's make this easily accessible and conversational and something that's easy to digest so that people can be aware of, like, this is what's going on inside my head and this is how I adjust to it accordingly.
It's interesting. The AON, this podcast that you're on right now, kind of got started exactly the same way. Matt and I were both comedians, and we would, at the Renaissance Festival after hours, would sit around the campfire and talk comedy theory and you know, the little granular stuff that people that think about comedy all the fucking time talk about. And we were like, these are really interesting conversations. We should record this. And, you know, it sounds like you had a very similar beginning. It was just like, these are interesting conversations, other people should hear them.
So
do you like pick a topic at the beginning, or is it more is it more trying to teach people, or is it more just being open about what's out there, or what's your kind of
it's a little bit hook of a blend. So the very first one we recorded was really a probably, hopefully, the most boring one we'll record. but it literally was like, here's a Google Maps of your brain. Because I'm going to refer back to this. So your brain is kind of like a world, right? And we have like a globe, we have hemispheres, we have continents, we have countries, we have cities, we have states, we have all the way down into houses, and even further down into houses, technically, we could do like living rooms and kitchens and whatnot, like if you want to do neurons and dendrites, but we're not going that deep because we're going to do the Google version of your house. I should just be able to see inside and not in. So that's as far as we're going down. But here's essentially the map of your brain, right? And how it all makes sense. So that when we're doing future podcasts of talking about different details, we can kind of refer back to, hey, if you remember, because some of those things matter. So like, for example, this is some of the stuff I find cool. I'm sorry if I go into this.
Bring it on.
Fantastic. Okay. Yeah.
So for one of the crazy things, when we started to learn that trauma was like a thing, who knew? Was because of Vietnam vets coming back and they were reliving. They were back in Vietnam. So all of a sudden, like, you know, a car would backfire and they were literally like crawling through the trenches, right? That was a big mental health WTF. And so we started to learn about trauma, which led us into neuroscience. And the reason it led us into neuroscience is because essentially it's your brain not working the way it's quote unquote supposed to. So an interesting thing about that, why you're all of a sudden crawling in the trench as opposed to walking down the street 20 years later, has an important piece to knowing what the map of your brain looks like, because hand model your brain. This is your brain stem. Mm-hmm. This is your midbrain. This is your prefrontal cortex. This nubbly bubbly bits, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Trauma lives here. It largely lives in your hippocampus and your amygdala, which is your midbrain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right, and around when, in the fist that you're making, or the, like the loose fist that you're making, you're pointing to the space
kind
between
of the base of the middle finger, I think.
Yeah. So I have to hand model the brain. I wrap my fingers around my thumb.
Yeah.
So a limbic system, all that sort of stuff, is sort of like your thumb area, if you will, right?
Huh.
And so this midbrain is older than your nubbly bubbly bits. It's older than your prefrontal cortex. And because it's older, it gets dominant. So this always has, your brainstem has the most amount of dominance because that's what keeps you alive. Your brainstem does like your breath, your stomach, your all that sort of. Brainstem comes first, then midbrain, and then prefrontal cortex. Your brain grows like a balloon. And it's growing both inside your own individual head as well as evolution-wise. So this part is oldest in your body, but it is also oldest evolution-wise. And this is newest, right? So when something happens that is life or death, this midbrain takes over. And the way that we notice that is if you've ever been hiking and you're like hiking, you know, chill, walking down the street with like maybe a significant other, and all of a sudden you like jump for no reason. And it's because you saw a long oblong figure in the middle of the road. And you were like, oh, that's a snake. And you're like, that's not a snake, that's a stick. Why did I just jump? Why did I just do that stupid thing? Or if you've set your hand on a stove and immediately yanked it back and then been like, oh, it's not even on.
Yeah.
So this part of your brain is faster. It's also stupider. it's significantly all of the parts.
It's not as evolved.
You,
yeah.
No, yeah. All the parts that make you, you, that give you personality, that give you intelligence, logic, right or wrong, and time. The only part of your brain that understands time is here. So why were Vietnam vets crawling around like they were still in the trenches is because this fires and has no access. Then it takes dominance, right? It says, nope, I was here first. I'm going to yell louder. And all of this gets shut down. So your brain thinks that you're in the trenches because only this part of your brain understands time. And it is currently offline.
Wow.
That's fucking fascinating.
So that's why we started with like global situation of the world.
Holy shit. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm listening to this podcast as soon as we find out what it's called.
Literally mind, literally blown.
That's actually not my, maybe a bad name. I might steal that. But yeah, so that's the idea is like, we have got different episodes. So we're going to do, for example, honestly, the neuroscience of racism.
So because I'm going to interrupt by saying, so you're saying you're starting with this, so you can build, are you building on each episode? So you have to listen to them in sequence?
Not necessarily. No.
Okay.
No, but it's more, so when we're talking about like different episodes, we can refer back to, hey, if you're curious about why this is the way that it is, check out episode one.
Okay, so it's here's go to the appendix A, which is this episode. Okay. Sorry about
the appendix, the brain.
Yes. Yeah, and we'll also probably, I've got a friend, luckily, who draws, and so I'll also see if, like, maybe we can do some sort of sketch of, like, here's your map, your Google map of what's inside your head. So same sort of thing. Like, when I'm referring back to this, this is why this is what it is, because you also sometimes need a visualization.
Okay. I'm looking forward to the Google Street View of my brain, because I have trouble remembering where my keys are. So,
go ahead and continue with what I wanted to make sure I understood. I wanted to understand the structure before we get too far into the details. So
I don't mind being interrupted at all. In fact, sometimes I enjoy it. So it means
you're gonna love this podcast
because it means that people are really like engaged, right? So yes, so like the brain map is definitely episode one. But like there's a whole bunch of like trauma and time. Why we don't learn or why we struggle to learn, different things that will build on each episode, and you won't need to listen to them in order, but more. We needed something that would give you reference.
Sure.
Definitely. Yeah.
A foundation. So,
that's the plan for it. So we have a bunch of episodes mapped out. The difficulty with me with episodes is I want to, this is definitely a standing on the shoulder of giants type of podcast. And so for each one that we're doing, I've read a slew of books, as I mentioned, because I don't ever stop reading this kind of stuff. Yeah, quota, if you will. But I will go back and double check and make sure I can cite as best as I'm able to when I'm speaking about a specific neuroscientist and giving credit for where conscience is, you know, who discovered that kind of thing. So it takes a little bit of researching as well as the hours and hours editing, of course.
It's like an audio reference paper in some ways.
Yeah. Share this in my ideas to hopefully make this engaging and interesting and silly. And the level of fascination that she's there to check me on the how far down the rabbit hole did you just fall? And is this still interesting or engaging or not? Because she's a clinician. She's not as heavy into neuroscience as I am, but so it's a matter of the two of us can hopefully make it engaging. And at the same point, we're happy to talk about.
She's your Holmes.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell her that. And so it's also about we might talk about. I've been joking for years about I'm gonna write
Watson.
A book called.
Yes. Sorry.
I knew where that was going.
Yeah.
I actually just followed it, even though it didn't make. I was like, yep.
Uh-huh. Plus two plus one.
Yeah, no. James was giving me faces, and I was like, "What did I just say?" Yeah, no, I said the wrong. I said the wrong one.
I knew exactly what you meant. And right. Rolled right with it.
Yeah, I speak salsa too, but also, I hang out with Eric Knight occasionally. So you know,
No. James absolutely facially knighted me. That was I apologize. Continue.
So we might also talk about I've been joking for years that I was going to write a book called Therapy Doesn't Work for Me. You're right, and here's why. Because it straight up doesn't for a fair amount of people, but there are reasons for it, and it's because our sociopolitical conception on what therapy is supposed to look like versus what it actually is completely different. So ways to potentially make therapy more accessible or to make at least the tools of it more accessible. Again, this is all focused on ways to make things, ways to make health, mental healthiness accessible for people so we can be healthier, happier, better people.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I would find something like that.
You should be.
Incredibly
it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Please.
Kind enough to lend me a podcast in a case so I could get started.
Yes.
Yeah. When you decide
on an actual title.
On a title and where it will be hosted and where we can find it. Mm-hmm. And when your episodes drop, please let us know and we will be sure to let everyone else know who is listening so they can go find that. Because I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm absolutely going to be listening to that.
Cool.
Because I'm just that nerd.
No, that's exactly the kind of thing that I like to listen to. I like dick and fart jokes or incredibly cerebral discussions. Of body chemistry.
I will try to come up with both as best as I am able to.
James is either as puerile as possible or as intellectual as possible. Everything else, the middle 80%, he's just this is not my realm.
I'm all margins.
I can promise you that I can connect your dick to your feet, neuroscience-wise. I can't connect your dick to your butt. I'll see what I can do.
That's the taint's job. The perennial. Yeah.
But I can't do it. I can't do it on the neuroscience level. I will try to do as much as I can.
Oh, God damn it.
Good.
With that, I think we should probably take a break.
I'm ready.
We're going to do that then. We'll be back in a little bit with our usual nonsense.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Ah, And we're back. I'm Salsa.
James.
I'm JL.
And it's... So are we. We just talk a lot to cover it up.
Oh, that's good. Okay. I'm understanding. Thanks for that.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Fast Five. Today's Fast Five comes to us from... Drumroll.
Ta-da!
All right. How this works, for those listeners and guests who don't know what we're doing, the Fast Five is... one of our listeners sends us two emails. The first one contains nothing but five choices. We don't know what those choices mean. We just have to choose one. It is only after we have made all of our choices that we open up the second email and find out what the context is of those choices. So the game for the first half is trying to guess what the context is and seeing what nonsense we can come up with. So, James has the Fast Fives from Jenna.
I do, yes.
Oh, and I should also tell the listeners, the reason we're not doing sound effects today is because I just fucking moved, and I don't know where the sound effects machine is. Deal with it.
I, however, Jenna, have received a small crocheted jellyfish. This will be our dinger for the episode.
It's all right. Quite a cute ding. Don't squeeze your dinger too much.
Well, I mean, they can't see me. And you've both seen it, so that's fine. I'm waving it on camera right now.
Yeah.
All right. The message from Jenna begins. Hello, people of my podcast. I'm down here in Kansas City eating barbecue where I can step outside in a sweater and be too warm. So, you know, living my best life. Anyway, I couldn't pass up an opportunity to send a Fast Five for you while I was out. I would like the next month off, please. Here we go. Question number one. Gas station tacos.
I'm sorry, it just doesn't have the same.
You gotta go with it. The show must go on. Question number one. Gas station tacos or gas station booze?
Which one is more likely to give you gas? Or which one is more satisfying? No, this has got to be...
Which one is more tempting on a road trip?
Or... When you're not booze on a road trip.
Well, I mean, if you're a passenger, you could slug one and then get into the car. As long as you don't have an open container as a passenger, you're probably fine. Also, in
unless
some
you're in
states,
Montana. Yep.
Right, yeah. Louisiana, just keep it under the windows and you're fine.
So just by the way, for those listeners who don't know, we're all in Minnesota, and in Minnesota, you cannot buy booze in a gas station. And I know that Jenna was posting on Facebook about being amused that there was a liquor section of Walgreens.
It's all Dr. McGillicuddy's. It's very medical. It's highly professional.
Dr. McGillicuddy's and Dr. Pepper, yes.
Yeah, Dr. McGillicuddy's, which Charles, best friend, former landlord, described as tasting like hitting my head on the underside of a toilet seat as a college student. So there's that.
I'm gonna go with gas station tacos.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like,
I definitely, whenever I'm in Wisconsin, that's how I buy my new Glarus, is in a gas station.
I was gonna say.
Right, same.
But I think I'm hedging my bets here and going tacos.
Yeah. I think I have to go gas station tacos because for several years I worked next to a place that had absolutely phenomenal gas station burritos, broaster chicken, and tacos, and I would wholeheartedly recommend it. It's a gas station, the one stop, at the junction of 77th and Highway 100. Yeah. Look for it. Their food is amazing. It's also next to Cheetah Pizza, which is effectively a mob front because they're open for two hours a day. But they're also, like, they're fucking great.
They their pizza's great, but it's so difficult to actually get that.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Lang's one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be something about more satisfying. I'm guessing. So,
which is a better thing to bring with you to your destination? Gas station tacos or gas station booze? Maybe. I don't know. Okay.
Be all contrary, right, and go gas station liquor, because I'm going to go with what is harder to find.
Ah.
And in the state of Minnesota, that would be gas station liquor.
That is incredibly hard to find. Yes. Fair enough. Oh. We've lost a salsa. And we have received a salsa.
Yep. All right, we freaked out for a second there.
Yep. Salsa needs food badly.
It's the bad internet, man.
Yep. All right. You're going to have to get that fiber. Russian tech back out there.
All right. Anyway, all right. Where were we?
I think you and I chose gas station tacos. They chose gas station booze. We're ready for question number two. Late night bar close or late night open convenience stores?
Ooh.
You know what? I can go home and drink more booze. But an open late night convenience store is invaluable.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Invaluable. And it's like,
if the question is, what do you want more when you're drunk?
Mm.
It is always.
Yeah, but I'm
convenience stores.
Shit. I have never had a problem of the bar closing and me going, oh shit, what am I going to do now? Whereas late night, you're suddenly like, I need gas and I need food.
I wonder if the context for all of these is, when drunk, gas station tacos or gas station booze, late night bar closer, late night open somebody told me that when they were drunk, they had a thought. They bought a bag of Funyuns, like a family-sized Fallout shelter bag of Funyuns, right? And they didn't have a sign strictly prohibiting this, but I'm sure they did later. So that nacho cheese and chili button, like the machine, the
at a gas station,
soap dispenser that instead of soap gives you nacho cheese and chili. Just filled space in the Funyuns bag, and then grabbed a couple of sporks from the gas station. And honestly, that doesn't sound like it sounds like a bad morning, but it sounds like a great night.
Doesn't really sound like a great night either. It sounds like a drunk night, and those aren't always great.
Sounds like maybe a great 30 minutes.
It sounds like a great story to tell later.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So I got to go with open convenience stores.
Yeah.
All right.
Nobody cares about broccoli.
No. Apparently not. I don't. All right. So question number three. See, JL, what you need to know about this is we have this like very authoritative like Jeopardy ding that happens.
It's also great. Like when we were talking about this, you did a double squeak. It was like ducker ducker, and now you're doing just this very stoic.
Yeah, you know, it's
one squeak and done.
Remember how I said don't overplay with your dinger? I'm rescinding that order now.
All right, okay. Question. Number three, brisket better. Or pulled pork?
Oh, brisket.
Better pulled pork?
Yeah.
Brisket. Bring on the brisket.
Oh, fuck, that's a hard choice.
I mean, both are fucking phenomenal, but I'm a hard brisket choice. Guy.
It's a hard choice if you've never been to Austin, Texas.
Ooh.
Which I recently was earlier this month. And sure. Austin, Texas, at a good restaurant sold to me by Austiner, the person who redid their house. Brisket is the consistency of tofu. It's butter. You can eat it without your teeth. Like it's just phenomenal. Like it's the most tender meat I've ever had in my entire life, and the most flavorful. And I don't like brisket. And it was
amazing. I got shivers.
Good brisket just liquefies.
It melts.
Yeah. It minimal. Yeah. Oh.
It, like it, I, you can eat it with your tongue. Like it was so, yeah. and there were so many flavors that I've never had in anything, and I don't like brisket, and I'm completely sold.
A good slow cooked brisket, like
holy shit, it was so good.
Yeah,
I have to say though, brisket, like good brisket, is very heavily localized. Like what they said in Austin or in KC or in very specific locations. Very specific people make a really good brisket. My friend Cody, former roommate, makes an excellent brisket. But I've also had dry, chewy brisket.
Yep, it's terrible.
But it's hard to fuck up pulled pork.
I was about to say the same thing.
Harder to fuck up pulled pork.
Oh yeah, totally.
I've had fucked up pulled pork, but honestly, the rarity makes it more appealing for me. It's like pulled pork. I can get a good pulled pork around the fucking corner.
Yeah.
If I'm gonna go to Kansas City, I'm having a revival fucking brisket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and bad pulled pork you can redeem slightly by putting coleslaw on it.
Yeah, coleslaw or French onion sauce. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, if I'm going to go out of my way, if I'm going to go to a destination, I'm going to have a brisket.
Well, because like
I'm now.
Because like you go to a barbecue place up here, and I don't know that I've had good brisket. I don't know that I've had like great, perfect brisket.
Hanson Hog was pretty close.
Oh.
It was no. It was Hanson Hog pre-pandemic. Now it's owned by somebody else, and I promise nothing.
Well, fuck it. I mean, I'll check it out. I'll still check it out. I like the name of the shop anyway.
Also, I think a lot of people in like Kentucky and Texas got a shiver down their spine just a couple minutes ago when you were like, barbecue places up here.
Right. Yeah. No, I understand.
Just down in Arkansas, everybody went,
look.
Oh, God.
Okay. I once showed a bunch of friends from the UK one of my cans of haggis, and I think it's the same thing, right? That they're just offended deeply on an innate moral level.
Okay, that being said, Minneapolis has actually like made a name for itself foodie town wise. My boss is in Austin. It was like, honestly, food in Minneapolis is better than most food in Austin, short of the brisket and tacos. And I was like, all right.
I'm well, there you go.
Definitely.
Now I have to introduce him to tacos in Minneapolis because I was like, I see that and I raise you.
Rusty Taco. Holy fuck. Oh, there's a. Okay, this so the Nicholas
fucking
Kmart,
taco truck.
Right?
The taco truck that crossed the street from where I used to live.
I was just talking to somebody about the taco truck that is in the Kmart parking lot, the Nicollet.
That
Kmart.
One is so good.
Like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. Yeah.
There's one in some like auto parts store in like just a little north of you. Like, why is that so good?
Right.
Like, why? Yep.
It shouldn't be. It's there's a hint of spark plug to it and it gives it a certain je ne sais quoi. Yeah. So yeah, there's that.
We use the lefse for the taco shell, and we put the lutefisk on the inside.
Oh my god! Oh man, stuffed Minnesota pizza would be so bad. Just piped in lutefisk, just squeezed into the crust.
Lutefisk and lefse taco. Holy shit!
Ew.
All right.
What is wrong with? Okay, hold on. Sorry.
I would try it.
What is wrong with me?
The science is still out on that. JL knows more than I do. That's
not my patient, not my monkey, not my problems.
Literally, not your circus, not your sideshow. That's the.
Yep. I'm out.
For Christ's sake, what's the next question?
All right. Okay. All right, so I'm choosing pulled pork because I'm more likely to get good pulled pork around home. Okay, so question number 4.
Ooh, 3 this time.
Right? It's getting more and more serious. It's tense, yeah. All right, question
past
before
tense.
You put three on question four, so I'm a little like the numbers.
I was thinking
it was two
the same.
On question three. You know, I making up for lost time. All right. Minnesota or Missouri?
Minnesota.
Yeah, I think so.
Minnesota.
I mean, okay.
There are a lot of states I'd choose over Minnesota. Missouri's not one of them.
Yeah, well.
I mean, I wasn't going to put it quite as bluntly as that, but same.
I mean.
Hi, I'm blunt.
Hi, blunt. Yeah. So, Kyle's dad. Hi, blunt. Kyle is dad. I am not. I think between the two, I mean, I'm sure Missouri is beautiful. No? Oh, okay. It's not. All right.
Not in my experience.
Okay. I'm sure Missouri has many fine drinking establishments.
I was like 12. I don't know.
Oh, well, fair. Well, okay, so Jenna did send us a picture of the mystery beer vending machine.
The beer vending machine, that there was the mystery, yeah.
In the place that has the best meatloaf. So I'm at least intrigued, but I'm not going to move there. I'll just drive there frequently, but
I've
not
been through Missouri. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I've heard they love company.
I've been there once, and that was enough for me.
Jenna's pooped in a ditch there, I'm sure. So there's that.
I thought that was Iowa.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure that Jenna's pooped in a lot of places. So.
You heard it here first, folks. Yeah, Jenna poops in ditches in every state.
Lower your bar. Yeah, it's becoming the new like Weird Al thing that you know that you've made it as a musician when Weird Al parodies one of your songs. But
you know you're a shitty state when Jenna poops in your ditch. Yeah.
You know that you've really made it. You're really middling as a state if Jenna's pooped in your ditches. Yeah. There you go.
Now that I'm grossed out.
Right.
What's the next question?
So I think we all chose Minnesota.
Yes, yes, we did.
Okay, okay, all right. Question number five. It's yeah.
I thought you were doing Morse code there for a second. Yeah. I think that was a D.
Short, long, short.
Long, short, short, short. What is long, short, short, short?
There we go. All right. Quick Trip or Come and Go?
Come and Go.
Okay. Pump and Munch is by far the filthier name. But I love a Pump and Munch, but Come and Go is it's funnier.
It's Come and Go. Like, how do you choose anything besides?
It's got the K sound.
Right. It does.
It does. Yeah. Nobody stops at Quick Trip for a fucking lighter and a t-shirt. Okay.
Right.
Nobody.
They do have better bathrooms.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, if the context is something like Jenna had a date like that once, which one was better? The Quick Trip?
Well, this is Jenna. It will be a date. No. Yeah. No.
I'm going to say.
What were the options again?
Quick Trip or Come and Go?
Jenna did have a date like that once.
Both of them. Right. Yeah. But which, okay, given the options.
I gotta go Come and Go.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
Why not?
Yeah, I'm going to say Jenna would prefer a date that's a Come and Go rather than a Quick Trip. Because there's no amount of time given for how long it takes to get to the first part. And then you just put your clothes on and leave. Versus Quick Trip is just, you know, the egg rolls over and looks disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, there's that. It.
All right.
Okay. So, we all chose Come and Go.
Yes, it is.
All right.
All right. That has been five. Now, let's open up the second email.
We open up the second email, and we find out who is right and who is dead.
Disclaimer, no one actually dies.
No. I mean, ideally, yeah. Hello again, miscreants. Correct. I suppose you want context. Fine. Man, I'm on holiday, and you're so demanding. Anyway, have some. Question number one, gas station barbecue tacos or gas station liqueurs? If I could bring one of these back with me to institute as a change in the Twin Cities, oh shit, which would you rather have? Okay, so gas station barbecue tacos is the critical thing, or gas station liquors?
I'm going to go with liquors.
Yeah, gas station liquors. I would love.
I'm gonna stop at the gas station. Yes, pop, grab yourself a bottle of vodka so you can, yeah. You know, or a bottle of gin, you know, so you can go home and make your gin and tonics. Tacos. I want to go to a good taco truck.
Yeah.
I want to go to a good, you know.
Same. Gas station like liquors.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, some of the better food trucks that I've met have been just outside of a brewery or distillery.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Sociable Cider Works usually has a pretty good selection of
Burning Brothers.
Oh my god.
Always,
oh yeah.
Yeah, they've got theirs gluten free trucks.
That's my post fall hike location.
Yeah.
Burning Brothers for their food truck.
Good choice.
Yeah, they delicious beer, and then their food truck is so good. They've got the like funnel cakes. So good.
Oh, that one's Auntie M. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Fuck.
Crazy Puppy, also good.
Yeah.
Now, I'm so hungry right now. I'm not even joking. I guess I'm just a hungry person, but
that is just who you are.
That's true. Yeah. I would have to say bring gas station liquors.
Agreed.
Yeah.
The convenience is you can't beat it.
Yeah. I'd love to get a couple liters of fuel and also a couple liters of gas as well. That's how it goes, yeah. All right, so question number two, late-night bar close or late-night open convenience stores, which would you take more advantage of, open later or a convenience store?
Convenience
store.
We all chose convenience store.
Open.
Oh,
yeah, this is the twist. Yeah. Oh, okay, so...
twist. The answer hasn't changed.
We were already, yeah, like foot in the door for convenience store.
Way.
But now they also have booze? Shit, that just makes it easier. Yeah.
We were all.
Fair enough. Oh, all right.
Thank you for the icing on this cake.
Yeah. Question number three, brisket or pulled pork? If you were only, If you were only able to get one KCBBQ item on your way through, which would you get?
Brisket.
Yeah, I'd have to say brisket. Because again, I can get beautiful pulled pork at home.
But brisket
no
is
good
hard.
Restaurants, but brisket
you're
is
you're
like
gonna
a
get
rare,
a good brisket, yep.
Rare treasure, yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah. All right. So question number four. Minnesota or Missouri, if you got a flat from hitting one of the many potholes in the road, which place do you think someone is more likely to pull over and help?
Missouri.
Probably Missouri, yeah.
Oh, Missouri.
I used to be a part of the people who pulled over and helped in Minnesota.
Sure.
So I'm going to stick with Minnesota, actually, because...
The thing is you are a rarity.
Yeah,
it wasn't actually just me. My friend used to, he used to have a tow rope. And it wasn't just potholes. He would also, like, anytime it was a massive snowstorm, he'd call me up and be like, you want to go help people? And we'd go, like, hop in the truck with the tow rope and pull people out for free because.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The thing with, they've actually done, like, studies on this and stuff like that, where Minnesotans, the Minnesota nice, but that doesn't, something about getting into a car makes Minnesotans very maladjusted to society.
Failure to zipper merge. I think that's what it is.
That's just one symptom of it. It's something about Minnesotans are very insular people. It's the Lutheran, thing where you're in your bubble and you're going down the road and you're doing your thing.
Yeah, I actually have this theory. That's part of the reason our traffic is bad is because all of us are very concerned about our individual flow within said traffic as opposed to the flow of traffic as a whole.
Yeah.
Whereas I was in traffic in California and it felt like I didn't even check my speed limit. Like we were just all traveling as one cohesive unit.
Because everybody was one man.
Yeah.
Again, I did not have a positive experience in Missouri, so that partially taints my feelings of Missouri. Sure.
Also, taints. So,
A big fleshy mass on Missouri.
I do want to put a big, huge asterisk next to this, by the way.
Okay.
I'm white. So true. I would probably get better help in Missouri. That might not be the case for everyone.
That's possibly true. I know that especially in rural communities.
That is playing on stereotypes.
Yeah, I was listening to people talk about this, and it doesn't matter who you are or what your bumper stickers are. According to these folks in a different podcast, if you are in a rural area, you are more likely to get help. Somebody will see you and stop. And it might have something to do with the amount of time that they expect for you to get help any other way. It might have something to do with, like, this is my good deed for the day, is stopping for somebody with a Biden bumper sticker, despite the fact that I'm rolling coal in a 12-foot tall truck or whatever. Like, whatever the thing is. I don't know, but
it would also depend on skin color and gender presentation.
Probably.
And do I feel safe with you stopping and helping me? Which also person who's assigned female at birth. Nope.
Fair enough.
I'm just going to go with nope.
Yeah. I always try to like let people see me and who I am from a distance before getting close to their vehicle, because I also stop to help people with their tires. I stop to help them with getting, you know, out of the snow and things like that. And I don't like to sneak up on people. But I have had a few times when I'm like, hey, can I help you get the spare loose and put it on the van, whatever? And they've said, no, we've got somebody coming. I'm on the phone with so-and-so right now. And I'm like, cool. All right. I hope that it goes super well. Be safe. Have a good night.
Yeah. I wonder actually if that's one of the reasons my friend always used to bring me with him.
That's entirely possible. I have learned that if I have anybody with me who is less tall, especially femme presenting, that people are less weirded out.
There is also the fact that, James, you wear that hockey mask to keep your face warm when you're driving.
Look, okay, that keeps my face warm, and
exactly.
The machete gives me a good, like, a hand grip for the tire iron.
Yeah.
And,
you never know when you need to clear some tall grasses away from the tire.
Exactly. So, there's that. But no, like, I fully understand that people are going to be freaked out by a masculine presenting tall person, beard and whatever, stranger on the road. I get freaked out when I see headlights following me for too long.
Mm-hmm.
So I fully understand. So, yeah, I don't blame people for that. But I will stop and offer help. And if people are okay with that, then I will help them. And if they're not, that's okay. Yeah. If I can't stop and help somebody, I will sometimes ask if I can call, you know, a truck or something. Yeah. Yeah. Because, no, I fucking get it.
As assigned female birth person, it doesn't actually matter if I'm in Minnesota or Missouri. I'm calling AAA.
Fair. Completely fair. Yeah.
Especially if I'm alone in the car. Like, I pay you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That feels a little safer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a paperwork trail.
Yes.
When you call AAA. Yeah. Fair enough.
All right. Is that all five?
Nope.
Oh, no.
We just got off sidetracked.
No, I just couldn't remember.
It's
I lost
so
count.
Weird for us. There's the name of this podcast is not.
We stay on the rails.
Yeah. So question number five, Quick Trip or Come and Go, which gas station better describes your sex life? We had to fucking know.
I changed nothing.
Oh no, I'm time traveling. Hang on.
No, you're fine. Now we lost you. Weird. He was time traveling. He did it before it happened.
And then just stop.
There we go.
Yep. I'm going to have to go with come and go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm okay. A romantic.
Yeah. that's funny for so many reasons, Salsa. I can't fucking deal with this right now. Jail, I time traveled. My internet cut out. What was your answer?
I said I changed nothing.
Oh, fair. Okay. Yeah.
Especially, okay, so I will argue morning sex is amazing, right? It's a great way to start your day.
Yeah. Nobody's arguing against that.
Right? And morning sex is not... I got shit to do.
Yeah.
So, come and go.
You do the thing, you get out of bed, you shower, you go to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got
things to do.
I am 100% in favor of that. I'm going to say come and go as a poly person. Statistically speaking, I'm going to be visiting partners some significant amount of the time. And sleepovers are not always in the cards. So that's, you know.
And you wouldn't call that Quick Trip?
No.
Okay.
No, I like to make an evening of it, you know.
Okay.
Watch a show, do a puzzle.
Oh, that's
have
fair.
Dinner. Yeah. So there's that. Yeah.
All right. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should be the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices, and then give us the context. And you can write any other nonsense in there you want to, because I'm sure you will, Mav. Anyway. does anybody have a shout-out?
Yes. I do. I would like to
you
give a shout-out.
Plan on
to,
telling the rest of us anytime soon?
Yeah. I'd like to give a shout-out to my sister's boyfriend. Because at family Christmas, he had just left a 13 or 14 hour shift slinging boxes for UPS and driving truck by himself. He didn't have backup on his route. So he was making everybody else's Christmas Eve. Okay. And then after he was done with that, he took another half an hour to drive out to my parents' place and then sat very patiently, like fending off sleep to receive a series of gifts and give a series of gifts, and then went home and immediately passed out, like in just inside his door, passed out. But he threw himself into a family Christmas thing, and it's I think that's fucking fantastic of him. And his presence was super appreciated. He's a really great guy. So, yeah. Appreciate you, Jay.
I want to give a shout out to everybody who helped us in the moving process. We didn't have a lot of people come out. People had other things to do. But we did have a few people come out and help us, you know, throw stuff in boxes and move things over. Jenna showed up, James.
Yeah. Good. Great.
But it was a small army, but they did good and mighty works. And we want to thank them for everything.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
For context, a shout-out would be a way of highlighting a person for something that they've contributed.
Not even necessarily a person. It could be a concept. You could give a shout-out to booze. You could give a shout-out to the concept of ennui. Just whatever you want to highlight.
Well, I will give a shout-out to this podcast as a thank you for having me.
Aww.
No, and to the two of you for being really good company this evening. A blast.
Oh, thank you.
Cool. It's a good way to spend my evening.
Yeah, indeed. Does anybody have anything to plug?
I sure as fuck do.
Do it.
Friday and Saturday, both Friday the 31st, that is New Year's Eve, and the 1st of January, New Year's Day, there will be a vilification tennis show at the Bryant Lake Bowl. You will need proof of vaccination or a test with a negative result, a COVID test with a negative result taken within the last 72 hours prior to your appearance there at the theater in order to get access, even if you've bought a ticket. Those are very important. Please also wear a mask when you are not eating and drinking. But with those things said, Ville Show on Friday night is going to start at 10. The original time, and go all the way until midnight. You will be counting down to the new year, 2022, with Vilification Tennis. We will keep you entertained, informed, and horrified, most likely. Then, in order to follow that shit show up, what better than another Vilification Tennis show? The first day of the new year in order to get things started right. What better resolution than to be better in comparison in your life than we are in ours? I will be there to be up on stage January 1st. By all means, come and see me. I would love to see friendly faces in the audience. Yeah, it's going to be fucking great. The thing that I love most about this show at the end of every year and the beginning of the next one is that we group together our funniest and best intermediary bits and sketches and games and everything else, all of our fan favorites, into one orgasmic super show. Well, this year, we're dividing it across two. So please do come and see that. We would love to have you there.
All right. Anybody else? Nope. All right.
I think we have a name.
Yep. We will definitely let all of the listeners know as soon as we have any information on that front. Yes. I have nothing right now. In that case, does anybody have any final thoughts?
Yes, I'd like to say bye-bye, I love you, bye-bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much for listening to this podcast. Thank you to our very amazing special guest, JL. Yay! Applause goes here. thank you to Jenna for sending in the Fast Five.
Ooh, yay, Jenna!
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, may she rest in peace. She eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.